You usually expect the ground beneath your feet to be, well, just a flat, dead surface.
Right, like concrete or asphalt.
Exactly. Maybe a mass-produced synthetic ceramic, just this static, inert stage for your life to happen on.
The completely passive background.
Yeah. But what if your kitchen floor or, your backyard patio was actually a frozen snapshot of thousands of years of bubbling geothermal violence?
It is quite a mental shift when you frame it that way.
It really is. And today we are unpacking this incredibly detailed article and guide by Unica Blake. She's a stone industry specialist from Hunter Pavers.
Which is a fantastic foundational text for what we're looking at today.
Definitely. The mission for today's deep dive is to really explore the fascinating science, the history, and the practical applications of travertine stone.
We want to unpack why this highly specific rock has been the backbone of human architecture for millennia.
Right, and how understanding its underlying chemistry can actually help you design better living spaces. Okay, let's unpack this.
Let's do it.
Because to really understand why you might want to walk barefoot on this material today, we kind of have to look at how dynamic and honestly, watery its birth actually is.
Yeah, the environment that creates the stone is anything but static. To get travertine, you need a highly specific geological engine.
Like a mineral spring, rather.
Usually, yes. Or more commonly, a geothermal hot spring. Deep underground, groundwater is heated by the Earth's magma.
Okay, so we're talking superheated water.
Exactly. And as the superheated water moves through the Earth's crust, it acts as this incredibly powerful solvent. It dissolves massive amounts of natural limestone.
Wow.
Yeah, and it becomes completely saturated with calcium carbonate and carbon dioxide.
So it's essentially brewing this highly pressurized subterranean mineral tea.
I mean, that is a very accurate way to visualize it. And the real magic happens when that pressurized water finally breaches the surface and, emerges into the open air.
Because the pressure suddenly drops.
Right. That sudden drop in pressure causes the carbon dioxide to rapidly escape into the atmosphere.
Oh, it's like opening a shaken bottle of sparkling water.
That's exactly the mechanism. And when that CO2 off-gasses, the water can't hold all that dissolved calcium carbonate anymore.
It'd have to go somewhere.
Right, it is forced to precipitate, meaning it basically drops out of the water and turns back into a solid.
Okay, wait. So it's essentially a giant geological 3D printer.
Yes.
Like the Earth is just extruding calcium carbonate, slowly layering it over thousands of years as the water constantly flows and evaporates. It's just printing out natural art.
The time frame really is staggering when you view it through that lens. I mean, a single inch of travertine might take hundreds or even thousands of years to build up.
That's wild.
And during that incredibly slow layering, the environment kind of leaves its fingerprints on the stone.
Because of water isn't pure?
Exactly. Pure calcium carbonate is stark white, but the water brings trace minerals along for the ride.
Right, the Unica Blake guide specifically notes things like magnesium, iron, and clay mixing in during that deposition process.
And those trace minerals are entirely responsible for the stone's final color. So iron oxidizes to create warm, reddish hues or golds.
And the clay gives you those beiges.
Right, different concentrations of clay and magnesium give you the classic creams, tans, and warm browns. But what's fascinating here is the sheer ecological efficiency of this whole origin story.
Oh, because it's completely natural.
Exactly. Think about it. We aren't mining raw materials, shipping them to a factory, adding synthetic resins, and baking them in industrial kilns that burn fossil
The
fuels.
Earth has already handled the manufacturing.
And the energy expenditure. It is a 100% natural stone.
Which means it requires minimal processing compared to like a synthetic porcelain tile.
Yeah.
You're just cutting up what the hot spring already spent millennia fabricating.
Exactly.
But that exact fabrication process, that bubbling of water and gas we just talked about, that creates the stone's most recognizable and maybe controversial physical trait, right?
Yes, as it forms, it traps air and water pockets.
Leaving the final stone just full of tiny holes.
Porosity is the absolute defining characteristic of travertine. As those carbon dioxide bubbles escape and, organic matter like leaves or algae get trapped and decay,
They leave behind little gaps.
right, they leave an intricate network of microscopic and sometimes macroscopic cavities.
Okay, wait a second. I got to play devil's advocate here.
Go for it.
If I'm designing a living space, a rock full of holes sounds like a terrible trait for a building material.
It does sound counterintuitive.
Right. If this stone is literally defined by being full of holes, won't it just act like a giant rock-hard sponge? Like if I put this in my backyard, won't it just soak up a rainstorm and get ruined?
The assumption that a porous stone is inherently fragile is incredibly common, but the physical reality dictates otherwise.
Okay, how so?
That porosity is actually a superpower, particularly in outdoor environments. It does allow for slight water absorption, sure.
Which sounds bad.
But it isn't a sponge that aggressively wicks moisture until it fails. When you use it as a paver on a patio, that slight permeability actually allows rainwater to drain through the surface microfractures.
Oh, so it acts as its own drainage system.
Exactly. It significantly reduces puddling and standing water.
But wait, what about indoors? If we have to chemically seal all these tiny holes just to prevent, say, a spilled glass of red wine from ruining the kitchen floor, isn't that defeating the purpose of using a natural stone?
That's a fair point.
Like, why not just buy a completely non-porous synthetic tile and call it a day?
Well, this raises an important question about how we engineer around natural limitations. It's a calculation of trade-offs.
Okay.
Synthetic tiles are non-porous out of the box, but they completely lack the thermal properties and the visual depth of natural deposition.
So the ceiling is just a compromise.
Right. Applying a liquid polymer to fill the top cavities indoors, that's just human engineering mitigating a vulnerability without destroying the underlying benefits.
So we block the wine or the oil.
But we retain the acoustic dampening of the porous rock, the distinctive texture, and that complex mineral coloring that a factory just can't replicate.
That makes a lot of sense. So we have this porous, somewhat soft material that needs some chemical help indoors to survive our eating habits.
Yes.
But how does a rock like that end up building an empire? Because the sources point out that the ultimate proof of this stone's durability isn't some modern suburban kitchen.
No, not at all.
It's the Colosseum in Rome.
The Colosseum is the absolute ultimate stress test for travertine. The Romans utilized a staggering amount of it.
I think they called it lapis divertinus, right?
Yes, quarried from the nearby town of Tivoli. And they chose it specifically because of its position on the Mohs hardness scale.
It's moderately hard.
Right in the middle of the spectrum. It's softer and less dense than granite, but it is noticeably harder than marble.
Which means you can actually work with it.
Exactly.
Like if you're building a massive amphitheater and you don't have modern diamond-tipped power saws, you need a material that won't shatter your iron tools.
But will still hold the weight of a massive archway. The machinability of the stone was everything to Roman engineers.
They could cut it quickly.
They could quarry it in massive, precise blocks rapidly. And you know that porosity we just debated?
Yeah, the tiny holes.
That actually made the stone lighter to transport from Tivoli to Rome than a solid block of dense granite would have been.
Oh, wow. So the flaw was actually the logistical advantage.
Precisely. And yet, the underlying calcium carbonate matrix was still strong enough to support the incredible compressive forces of the Colosseum.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me.
Yeah.
The contrast is just mind-blowing. You have the exact same material, this calcium carbonate deposited by hot springs, that literally housed ancient Roman gladiators.
And withstood centuries of earthquakes and weather.
Right. And currently, that exact same stone is sitting in modern suburban kitchens as a polished backsplash behind someone's coffee maker.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, travertine really represents a bridge between ancient architectural legacy and modern luxury.
The marriage of form and function.
Exactly. And that versatility all stems from the exact same physical traits the Romans exploited.
The moderate hardness.
Yes. Today, we have advanced milling technology, so that moderate hardness allows us to slice travertine incredibly thin without the stone crumbling.
So we can use it for everything.
Large format flooring, precision countertops, delicate wall cladding, decorative columns, you name it.
And the way we machine it dictates the final look.
Yeah.
The guide details how the finishing process dramatically changes its behavior.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, if you want a sleek surface, you polish it. Smooth but matte, you hone it.
And if you want to lean into that ancient Roman aesthetic, you tumble or brush the stone.
Which exposes more of those natural pores.
Creating a really beautiful, rustic, aged texture, designers use those finishing techniques in tandem with the natural colors.
Like a beige travertine.
Right. A honed beige provides a soft, neutral foundation that blends softly with minimalist interiors.
Whereas an ivory travertine outside...
An unfilled, brushed ivory travertine can dramatically brighten a shadowed outdoor space by reflecting ambient light, while the rough texture gives you that necessary grip.
Well, let's talk about that outdoor utility, actually,
Mm-hmm.
because taking the stone out of the kitchen and putting it back into the elements introduces some brutal physical demands.
The outdoors is unforgiving.
The sun, freezing rain, huge temperature swings. And it's amazing that just by choosing this over asphalt, you're essentially installing nature's air conditioning directly into your outdoor flooring.
The thermal resistance of travertine is arguably its greatest modern asset for exterior design.
Why is that?
Well, you have to compare it to the alternatives. Concrete and asphalt are incredibly dense manufactured compounds.
Right, no tiny holes in asphalt.
Exactly. Because they lack internal void space, they rapidly absorb solar radiation and hold on to that heat energy.
Which is why a concrete driveway feels like a frying pan at 3 in the afternoon.
Precisely. But travertine does not absorb heat the same way. It regulates temperature naturally.
The guide specifically points out that it stays cool under direct sunlight. But what's the actual physics there? Why isn't it absorbing the sun?
It comes right back to the anatomy of the stone. Those microscopic pores and cavities are filled with air.
Okay.
And air is an incredibly poor conductor of heat.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So the porous structure of the stone acts as millions of tiny built-in thermal insulators.
Oh, so it's like the way a double-paned window uses an air gap to stop heat from transferring.
That is the exact same physical principle. Plus, the lighter trace minerals in popular outdoor cuts actively reflect a huge portion of the sun's UV rays before the heat can even penetrate the surface.
That is brilliant. Mm. The stone's internal structure is literally doing the thermal regulation for you.
Yes, it is.
So you can build a pool deck in a hot climate and walk barefoot in the middle of July without burning your feet.
And that thermal stability protects the installation itself, too.
How so?
Well, because it isn't absorbing massive amounts of heat, it isn't undergoing extreme thermal expansion and contraction.
Oh, right. Because expanding and shrinking is what makes concrete crack and warp over time.
Exactly. Travertine's internal temperature remains stable, meaning its physical footprint remains stable.
But wait, I'm assuming that slight water absorption we talked about earlier becomes a huge issue if you live in a place where it freezes, right?
It's a valid concern.
Like if water gets into those little pores and turns to ice, doesn't the ice expand and just shatter the rock?
Well, if you laid a dense, non-porous ceramic tile outdoors and water froze underneath it, yes, the rigid tile would likely snap.
Right.
But travertine's cavities actually provide room for the frozen water to expand internally without immediately fracturing the matrix.
Oh, so the holes save it again.
To a degree. But the true defense against the freeze-thaw cycle lies entirely in the base preparation.
Yeah, the sources are highly specific about how this has to be installed outdoors. You can't just toss these stones onto the dirt and hope for the best.
Absolutely not. Outdoors, travertine requires a highly engineered, permeable subbase.
Like sand or gravel.
Typically, a deeply compacted bed of crushed gravel topped with leveling sand, or a heavily reinforced draining concrete slab.
Because you need the water to leave.
Exactly. Since the stone allows some water to pass through, the layers beneath it must be designed to channel that water away quickly.
So you don't get a massive block of ice building up underneath.
Right. Furthermore, installers have to leave consistent spacing between the pavers, which they then fill with polymeric sand.
So they aren't touching directly.
Exactly. It creates flexible joints, giving the entire patio room to shift and breathe with the changing seasons.
And the surface of the stone itself provides an inherent safety feature for places like pools, too.
Yes, the texture.
Because a polished marble patio next to a pool is basically a slip and slide waiting to put someone in the hospital.
It's incredibly dangerous.
But the natural pores of the travertine create an inherently non-slip texture. It provides grip for walking, but it still looks like a luxury architectural feature.
Which brings us to the final and honestly perhaps most critical aspect of living with this material, the upkeep.
Right, the maintenance.
Because you are dealing with an ancient piece of natural chemistry, you absolutely cannot treat it like a synthetic vinyl floor.
The guide is super rigid about this rule. Clean it with mild soap and water only.
Yes. Avoid harsh chemicals entirely.
Because if we go back to the very beginning of this deep dive, we know exactly what this stone is made of. It is almost entirely calcium carbonate.
And calcium carbonate is highly reactive to acids.
So we aren't just talking about avoiding a bad stain.
No, this is about preventing a destructive chemical reaction called etching.
Okay, what is etching?
If you spray a harsh acidic patio cleaner, or even spill something as common as lemon juice or vinegar onto unsealed travertine, the acid immediately attacks the calcium bonds.
Wait, it's literally dissolving the rock, isn't it?
Chemically speaking, yes. The acid reacts with the calcium carbonate to form a calcium salt, water, and carbon dioxide gas.
Wow.
The acid is literally eating away the microscopic top layer of the stone.
Which leaves a mark.
It leaves behind a dull physical depression, an etch mark that cannot simply be wiped away.
Because the rock is gone.
Exactly. It permanently alters how light refracts on the surface, making it look permanently stained, even if the liquid itself was completely clear.
It is so satisfying when the science directly dictates the chore.
It really takes the guesswork out of it.
You don't have to guess. Because you know the chemistry of the stone, you understand its specific vulnerability.
Exactly.
Knowledge of the calcium carbonate directly empowers you to preserve it for decades without accidentally, like, off-gassing your patio with the wrong bottle of cleaner.
When you understand the what, the why becomes completely intuitive.
So what does this all mean? We have tracked an incredible journey today.
I really have.
We started deep underground, watching pressurized, superheated mineral water dissolve the Earth's crust. We saw how the release of carbon dioxide forced calcium carbonate to precipitate.
Utilizing the Earth as a geological 3D printer.
Building up a porous, textured stone over thousands of years.
And then we observed how Roman engineers leveraged that exact porosity and that moderate hardness to construct the Colosseum.
Trusting a somewhat soft rock to hold the weight of an empire.
Gene, it did.
And then we explored how modern engineering relies on those same microscopic air pockets to create a passive cooling system for barefoot-friendly patios, while navigating the chemical vulnerabilities to ensure it survives our daily lives.
Travertine really is a masterclass in how natural chemistry creates the ultimate eco-friendly building material.
It's amazing.
You know, reading through Unica Blake's guide and examining this stone's timeline, it leaves us with an interesting philosophical question.
Oh, lay it on us.
Well, we live in an era entirely obsessed with inventing the perfectly synthetic, indestructible, non-porous building material.
Oh, totally. We want everything lab-created and flawless.
Right. Products that repel every stain and resist every single scratch. And yet, the Colosseum has endured for 2 millennia, completely exposed to the elements despite being constructed from a chemically reactive, highly porous, inherently imperfect stone.
That's a profound contrast.
Looking at Travertine's legacy, are we perhaps overlooking the enduring strength, the thermal genius, and the timeless utility found in nature's slow, imperfect creations?
I mean,
what will our hyper-engineered synthetic concrete structures look like in 1,000 years compared to the ancient ruins of Rome?
That is a brilliant point.
Mm-hmm.
The perceived flaws, the pores, the softness, the chemical reactivity are exactly the mechanics that make it work so beautifully within its environment.
Exactly.
It's definitely something to ponder the next time you step onto a cool, textured stone floor in the middle of summer and realize you are walking across thousands of years of bubbling geothermal history. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. We'll see you next time.